Our reading for today is from the Gospel of St. Mark, the 15th chapter, verses 1 through 15. And as soon as it was morning, the chief priests held a consultation with the elders and scribes and the whole council, and they bound Jesus and led him away and delivered him over to Pilate. And Pilate asked him, "Are you the king of the Jews?" And he answered him, "You have said so." And the chief priests accused him of many things, and Pilate again asked him, "Have you no answer to make? See how many charges they bring against you." But Jesus made no further answer, so that Pilate was amazed. Now at the feast, he used to release for them one prisoner for whom they asked. And among the rebels in prison who had committed murder in their insurrection, there was a man called Barabbas. And the crowd came up and began to ask Pilate to do as he usually did for them. And he answered them, saying, "Do you want me to release for you the king of the Jews?" For he perceived that it was out of envy that the chief priests had delivered him up. But the chief priests stirred up the crowd to have him release for them Barabbas instead. And Pilate again said to them, "Then what shall I do with the man you call the king of the Jews?" And they cried again, "Crucify him." And Pilate said to them, "Why, what evil has he done?" But they shouted all the more, "Crucify him." So Pilate, wishing to satisfy the crowd, released for them Barabbas. And having scourged Jesus, he delivered him to be crucified. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. For today's meditation on God's word, we welcome Pastor David Tannehill, from Grace Lutheran Church, Vine Grove, Kentucky.
Our Lord's death is satisfying. Now you may be thinking, what a terrible thing to say. Usually when we use the word satisfying, we use that word when we dig into a delicious home-cooked meal or when we see our children do well at school. On the other hand, it's painful to even hear about the humiliation our Savior endured. So how can Jesus' death possibly be considered satisfying? Well, in the first place, it satisfied the angry mob who wanted to see Jesus crucified. Pilate seemed to try everything but handstands to get the crowd to reconsider the outcome of that day. He peppered Jesus with questions, but that didn't help. Pilate asked him, "Aren't you going to answer? See how many things they are accusing you of?" But Mark tells us Jesus still made no reply, and Pilate was amazed. Then Pilate had what he thought was a great idea. He told himself, "I'll trot Jesus out there alongside of Barabbas, a hardened criminal, and let the crowd decide who they shall set free." The difference was obvious. On the one hand, they had a murderer whom they had caught in the city. And on the other hand was Jesus. He was innocent of all the accusations they were throwing at him, and Pilate knew it. So he thought to himself, the choice should be obvious. But the chief priests stirred up the crowd to have Pilate release Barabbas instead. When Pilate asked them what he should do with Jesus, the blood-curdling cry came back, "Crucify him!" When Pilate asked them why, what crime has he committed? Mark says they shouted all the louder, "Crucify him!" And then come those cold, cowardly words that allowed expedience to trump good sense. Wanting to satisfy the crowd, Pilate released Barabbas to them. He had Jesus flogged and handed him over to be crucified. So who was satisfied on Good Friday? Well, the chief priests, the elders, the teachers of the law and the Sanhedrin, they were the ones who led Jesus to Pilate for that very purpose. But there was someone else who was also satisfied. The Father was satisfied. It's not surprising that Jesus stood silent before Pilate. Jesus wasn't interested in arguing his innocence. Jesus came to carry our sins, yours and mine, to the cross and stand guilty in our place. In love, Jesus came to satisfy the demands of the law which you and I have failed to meet. When Jesus stood on trial, Mark tells us the chief priests accused him of many things. Not one of those accusations could stick. But the law shows us our guilt and sin, and every one of those charges stick. We haven't loved God with all our heart and with all our soul and with all our mind and with all our strength. We haven't been the best son, daughter, spouse, or parent. Think of those horrible sins that cause you to roll around and lose sleep at night. In love, Jesus let those sins stick to him, and he let the punishment that should have fallen on us come raining down on him. Jesus made satisfaction for our sins. In Colossians, Paul tells us he canceled the record of debt that stood against us with its legal demands. This he set aside, nailing it to the cross. Jesus did that in love for you. In love, God the Father sent his Son to pay your debt and make full satisfaction for your sins. And now, with the debt of sin paid, and having made satisfaction for the sins of the whole world, Jesus gives us this forgiveness and eternal life in his word and sacraments. Do you want to hear the words of a satisfied father? Think of the events of Jesus' baptism at the beginning of his ministry, and again at his transfiguration, as he set his eyes on Jerusalem and the cross. On both those occasions, the Father said, "This is my Son, whom I love, with whom I am well pleased." And because of the salvation which Jesus has accomplished for you on the cross, and the righteousness which is now yours by faith, you can be assured that he is well pleased with you too. Our brother Martin Luther really hit the nail on the head when he wrote his Christian questions with their answers in the Small Catechism. As the questions come to a close, Luther asks, "Why ought we to remember and proclaim his death?" And he reminds us that we may learn to believe that no creature could make satisfaction for our sins but Christ, true God and true man, and that we may learn to look with terror at our sins and to regard them as great indeed, and to find joy and comfort in him alone and thus be saved through such faith. And then he asks this pivotal question: what was it that moved him to die and make satisfaction for your sins? And the answer is his great love to his Father and to me and other sinners. That's you and me, dear friends. There is no mistake about it. There is full satisfaction in our Savior's death. Amen.
We thank Pastor David Tannehill from Grace Lutheran Church, Vine Grove, Kentucky, for today's meditation on God's Word.